from KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth Denton. It's anything you ever wanted to know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. The email address for your questions and answers this hour, you can send those to us at anything@kera.org. And that's where we got these to start off with today. From Larry and Rowlett, on the top of many but not all, he writes, traffic signal poles. There are small clear light bulbs that periodically turn off and on when the traffic lights change. What are these little clear light bulbs on traffic signal poles for? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Tiffany in Richardson asks, why do birds suddenly drop several feet while flying, then a moment later fly upward, and then a few moments later appear to drop again? Is it because they are moving with the wind, or is it a technique to make them harder to catch, by their prey? Or is it something altogether different? Call us, 800-933-5372. Patricio in Dallas has a Wall Street question. Patricio writes, is there a way to know how many investors control the 50% or so of the volume of transactions on Wall Street? He says, it seems that, at least from my modest point of view, these 1,000 or maybe fewer investors are controlling force for the economy for almost the whole world. So how many are there, and who are they? And from Carlton, and this is from last week, he says, we have a walk-in cooler set to cut on at 40 degrees and cut off at 36 degrees. He says it's an insulated room which is located outdoors. This morning it was 28 degrees outside. Again, this was last week. He says, my question is, why does it still cycle on and off when it's colder outside than I want it to be inside? 800-933-5372. Email address anything@kera.org. Let's get started with William in Hearst. Hello, William.
Hi, William. Hi, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I had an answer for your wire.
Are you there?
Yes. I've got another radio station cutting in to the call.
Oh, well, I think we just got that fixed.
Yes, you did. I'm sorry.
Right.
The lights on top of traffic lights, those are for policemen to be able to see when a red light turns on, because they cannot ticket you for running a red light unless they're perpendicular to the traffic light that you are running. So that's how they can see that it has turned on.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. Up next is Mike in Arlington. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Jeff. I had a question for you. When they talk about barrels of oil, they use the abbreviation BBL. What's the extra B for?
BBL. That's a great question. Let's ask and see if we get an answer for you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. And that's where we got this from CP, who says, my relative was recently laid off, and he has health problems, and his insurance has been canceled. His monthly medication bill is around $5,000 with no insurance. It was much cheaper when he had health coverage. Does anyone know where he can go for assistance or help? CP adds, I know the Cobra insurance is available, but it's also very expensive and may not cover his illness. What options are there out there, and for him and many other people affected by the economy as well? Call us, 800-933-5372. Janelle writes, I have rabbit ears for my TV, and I'm wondering what to do to properly recycle or reuse the antennas. And I think Janelle's question stems from the the transition to digital broadcasting is happening in February, and you have to have the converter box. But I guess Janelle is asking, will my rabbit ears work with the converter box, or do I need to get a new antenna? And we've had a few of these questions, but I don't know if we had this particular one. So call us if you know the answer, 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Josh in Irving. Hello, Josh.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
Good, good. I had an answer to your question about the stoplight.
Uh-huh.
And I heard a similar answer, but I'm not sure if I'm right or if he's right. I thought that those were for people that were actually colorblind, so they could actually know when the light turns red or green to kind of prevent accidents.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know if that's the answer or not, but maybe somebody else has something
And, you know, we've had this question before, and I think the answer we've gotten before was that it was for law enforcement purposes. But I guess perhaps you've stumbled upon yet another answer.
Yeah, perhaps. We'll
All
see.
Right. Thanks, Josh. 800-933-5372. anything@kera.org is the email address, and that's where we get this from Matt in Sachse, who says, my grandfather-in-law, son, and I listened to the Glenn Mitchell Christmas blockbuster a few years ago. Ever since, at this time of year, I frantically search the internet to see if just by chance, the infamous Glenn Mitchell favorite, Santa, I Want a Goat for Christmas, song by the Wilder Brothers has become available for purchase and download. To my amazement, Matt adds, it never seems to pop on iTunes for the three or four people in the world that might actually be willing to purchase such an obscure classic. Knowing that your show has the smartest listeners anywhere, this holiday season, could you poll the audience to determine if anyone knows where this Christmas classic can be found? That's that Christmas classic, Santa, I Want a Goat for Christmas by the Wilder Brothers. Now, for those of you who are wondering, yes, we are going to run, in his own words, the Glenn Mitchell Christmas blockbuster yet again. And this year, it's 5 hours in length. Tune in, and I've checked with Eric Bright, who has been diligently working on getting this special ready to roll for you on Christmas Eve. It's going to run right here on 90.1 on Christmas Eve, the 24th, from 7 p.m. to midnight. And Eric suggests, if you're interested in hearing Santa, I Want a Goat for Christmas by the Wilder Brothers, and from what we know, just from Glenn himself, the song is from 1955, very obscure. It's in hour three, so be sure you're listening. Actually, tune in a few minutes before 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve, but the blockbuster runs from 7 to midnight on Christmas Eve. And again, from 1 a.m., I believe, to 6 a.m. on Christmas morning. So lots of blockbuster coming. 800-933-5372. Up next is Hal in Dallas. Hello, Hal.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
I had an answer about the birds. I don't know the behavioral reason for what I would call fly and fall, but there are certain birds that it's characteristic of, particularly woodpeckers. They have sort of a roller coaster pattern to their flight.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Yes.
Up next at 800-933-5372 is Terry in Fort Worth. Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
I have a question.
Okay.
I've often noticed that sometimes when I have a very cold bottle of soda, and you open it, and the air rushes, and suddenly ice forms, and then you get this frozen slush. I was wondering what the physical phenomenon was that caused that.
Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
All right, great.
Thanks for calling.
I'd like to hear it.
All right.
Thank you.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. And speaking of answers, a nice stack of answers from last week. The question we had about real cinnamon. Okay, got a couple of answers on where to find real cinnamon or special spices. Carrie in Dallas says real cinnamon is called canela in Spanish or Italian, as I recall. In Europe, the fake cinnamon we get here cannot be sold under the name cinnamon, so you need to go to a European food store to find some real cinnamon. Carrie says, I found some at Jimmy's food store in East Dallas. At least I think it's the real thing because it's called canela and is from Italy. I feel like I've fallen through the looking glass here as far as cinnamon's concerned, folks. Let's see. Sharon says Costco sells Saigon cinnamon, which I believe is real cinnamon, according to Alton Brown on Food TV, as he did a program on the subject. And let's see. Paul suggests Penzi's Spices, located at LBJ in Preston. He says they have authentic spices and herbs. And on the question of where to get a good loaf of brioche, also from last week, Holly in Dallas writes, there's a bakery in Denton called Ravelin, R-A-V-E-L-I-N, bakery, owned and operated by Eric and Pamela Helland, and they have a wonderful brioche. But it's only sold on certain days, so you may want to call ahead and see which days, then have them save you a loaf. Holly says, since it's made with no artificial preservatives, I usually keep it in the freezer, and it still tastes just as good. Well, thanks for those answers. 800-933-5372 is the number if you have questions or answers, or you can email us, of course, anything at kera.org. And on the phones, let's talk next to Sean in Dallas. Hello, Sean.
Yeah, I just had an answer on your walk-in cooler question.
Yeah.
And that's regardless of the ambient temperature outside, the thermostat is sensing the temperature inside, and so as long as it's calling for cold air, it's going to cycle on, and then when it reaches its temperature, it'll shut off.
And maybe it has something to do with going in and out from inside the kitchen or the restaurant, too, because it's obviously warmer in the restaurant.
Exactly.
Great. Thanks very much.
Uh-huh.
And let's get one more answer on that one from Mike in Farmersville. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, I was talking about the walk-in freezer as well. Everything in the freezer is a heat load or a load, so it also causes temperature to go up. So if you put something in the freezer that is above temperature, it's a lot of mass, and it takes a long time for that to dissipate. But it has nothing to do. The inside temperature is insulated from the outside, so it really doesn't have anything to do with whatever the outside temperature is.
Yeah, it's just like when my AC was out for a week back in the hottest part of the summer, and then once we finally got it fixed, it took a long time to cool everything off because everything in the house was really hot.
Yeah, it's a lot of mass.
Yeah, all right. Well, thanks very much, Mike.
But I also have an answer for that water thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Every phase change runs everything, and the ice, and water, the temperature and pressure relationship, when you can have water colder than 32 degrees if it's at the right pressure. And as soon as you change the pressure, if it's colder than 32 degrees, it has to absorb that energy into a change in phase from a liquid to a solid. So when it drops the pressure, it changes the phase change relationship. Since it's colder, it'll automatically make ice until it brings up the temperature. So it's all about the energy of the phase change.
Very good.
Anyway,
thanks very much.
Bye. You bet.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. And that's where this comes from, Benjamin in Grand Saline. In our federal government, Benjamin writes, we have departments, bureaus, agencies, offices, corporations, administrations, services, and commissions, but no ministries that I'm aware of. Are there any ministries or ministers in the United States government? And if not, why not? Benjamin says, perhaps we just use the word department rather than ministry. But is there any specific reason we chose not to use the word ministry? He says, I know that both Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson served as U.S. Minister Plenipotentiary to France, but this position has now become ambassador. Call us, 800-933-5372, and that's where we find Sharon in Flower Mound. Hello, Sharon.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah. I have an answer for the rabbit ears.
Okay.
Basically, you could use your rabbit ears with your converter boxes, and all the digital signals are on the UHF frequency band, and as long as your rabbit ears can pick that up, you should have no problem using them. In fact, I'm using two units with rabbit ears and pretty much get all the digital channels out there.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. A couple more from the answer stack. As from last week, the question, this is from Eric, who says, the question as to why the notice of having mechanically separated meat on the Slim Jim package was never answered. The answer given was simply what the process was. He says the answer as to why a notice is needed is because such meat can be contaminated by the process, and people could have allergies to substances that may be introduced. He says they got this information from news.bbc.co.uk. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Anne in Ennis. Hello, Anne.
Hello.
Yes.
This is for the guy that's been laid off at work and has no insurance for his medical bills.
Mm-hmm.
You can go down to the Family and Children Services and sign up for, like, Medicaid spend down, and that's where he can present his bills and his medical bills to show that he does not have enough income to pay for his bills, and they have to submit them, and it's called Medicaid spend down, and what they will do is they will pick up Medicaid will pick up his bills and pay them for him.
You just go to the Social Security office in your county?
No, you go to the Children and Family Services.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
And it really works, and it's really a good program to go for.
Well, Ann, thanks so much for calling.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's anything you ever wanted to know. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. You can also email us. Anything at kera.org is the address. We'll be right back after a quick break. From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. It's anything you ever wanted to know. I'm Jeff Whittington. The telephone number is 800-933-5372. The email address, anything at kera.org. And last week we had this question on why can you drop out at 17? We got a bunch of answers. But here's one more from Michael, who says, hey, here's a clarification on the dropout age from a truancy prosecutor. says at 16, a judge can order a child to drop out and enter a GED program and or take the GED test. At 17, a student can drop out with parental permission and enter a GED program and or take the GED test. And at 18, a student can drop out of public school. However, if the student voluntarily remains in school after their 18th birthday or enrolls in a subsequent semester after 18, they must remain in school the rest of the semester. And in answer to the question about what is approach tone versus a target tone that we had last week regarding composition, Tim in Parker writes, in music composition, an approach, or better known as a passing tone, would be any note before the chord that it would resolve to, which is the target tone or chord. For example, he says, if you were writing a passage of music and your target chord was C major, an approach note could be a D that would resolve to the target of the E in the C major chord. Thanks very much, Tim. Oh, and a clarification. I erroneously stated that the Glenn Mitchell Christmas blockbuster would be rebroadcast. Actually, we're only broadcasting it once. We've been corrected because the boss is listening. And he came in and said, his name is Jeff Ramirez, by the way. And he said, it's running from 7 to midnight on the 24th, Christmas Eve. So don't miss it. 7 to midnight right here on KERA 90.1, Glenn Mitchell's Christmas blockbuster. It's going to be great. Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to John in Richardson. Hello, John.
Hello. I had a DTV-related question. I have a little portable radio that, you know, like I might listen to the Cowboys game while I'm doing work around the house. It just gets the audio signal from the television broadcast. What's going to happen to that signal?
I think we had this question a couple of weeks ago. And the answer was, you're out of luck.
Well, I just won't have to sit down and watch the game instead of working around the house.
Although I bet someone might come out with, you know, you have digital radio, so I don't know why someone couldn't come out with a little radio that would, you know, like would get the audio part of digital TV broadcast.
Sure. Well, I just thought it might be related, like you have the secondary audio programming for like a Spanish broadcast on TV. I thought maybe they would continue to do some type of additional audio feed, but that sounds about right. Thanks for your help.
Very good. Thanks very much. 800-933-5372, the email address, anything at kera.org. Let's see. John in a cubicle says, as far as finding out who owns what and what percentages of the stock market, says, try two different sites, tickerspy.com, T-I-C-K-E-R-S-P-Y.com, and Guru Focus, all one word, Guru Focus. .com. Let's see. Also from the inbox, Sue in Dallas says, we've heard about the converter boxes for digital broadcasting, but what will happen to our VCR-DVD combination recorder player? Will the VCR still be able to record as usual? We've been given different answers from different sources. 800-933-5372, and that's where we find Lori in Wichita Falls. Hello, Lori.
Hi, Jeff. My question is about food and where it's produced. I've been trying to figure out how to figure out where the food's coming from, whether it's made in China and it's got, what is it, the melamine or something in it. And
melanine.
Melanine. It says distributed by on the back of a package or marketed by, but it doesn't seem to say the country of origin, and I'm suspicious of a lot of the stuff that, you know, at least I purchased, like the value stuff at the supermarket.
Right.
You know, I want to figure out, how do I determine that? Because I called them up on the telephone, and I just got the runaround, and I tried to look online, and it's really difficult to figure out where their products originate.
Hmm. Okay, well, we'll ask and see if someone has a suggestion on how to find that out. That's a really great question.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you. 800-933-5372. Up next is Joel in Frisco. Hello, Joel.
Hi. I'm in the traffic engineering industry, so I thought I'd clear up the little light bulbs, the clear white bulbs on the top of the traffic signal.
Okay.
And, yes, they are for red light running, so that the officer can be on the opposite side so that he actually catches you after you go through the light, because if he was behind you, then the light's red, then he'd have to run the light to get you.
Right.
It's not for colorblind, because we wouldn't want to depend on a little white bulb off to the side for somebody to see going, you know, 40 miles an hour. The colorblind aspect is taken care of by the fact that the red is always in the same position. For a vertical traffic signal, it's always at the top, and for a horizontal, it's always at the left. So that addresses colorblind.
And the other things that are on on the traffic signals, we get questions about all the time. There are those little things that look like cameras that are pointing toward the oncoming traffic.
Right. Right. Nowadays, those are used for detection. Used to be you'd always see a square in the pavement.
Right.
And that's what detected the cars and told the signal, okay, there's cars waiting on one approach. If, as soon as you can, go over and serve them. Now we use cameras because it's so much less expensive, because if those things in the pavement ever failed, it was a lot of work to rip them up and replace them. So now we use cameras, and the cameras see the traffic, and they tell the controller, okay, there's traffic over there. Go over there when you can.
Now, what we've also had the answer that those devices in the past were receivers for, like, an emergency vehicle strobe. Do they have a double function that way?
No, there's actually another piece of equipment. There's two different pieces of equipment. The Opticom strobe does sometimes look like a camera, but it's really not. It's just a little, it's usually a little black thing with a little hood on it that receives the strobe from emergency vehicles, but it's not a camera. So you'll see usually the little black thing on top of the mast arm, like somewhere in the middle. But the cameras are usually pretty clearly cameras. They're white enclosures. They're pretty long. They're pointing down. They are different pieces of equipment.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Sure.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. And that's where we got this from Janice, who says, why is it that on Tuesdays, that the traffic on 635 traveling from Mesquite to Preston Road is lighter than any other day of the week? I experience this each week and would love to know the answer. And while we're on that topic, it's somewhat related, from Jay in Arlington, who wants to know, how are interstates and state highways given their numbers? We've talked before on the show about, the even interstates go east and west, and the three-digit interstates are loop roads, and the north and south interstates are odd numbers. But how do they get their number name? It's a great question. Both those are good questions. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Also from the email box, Cheryl wants to know, what is the name of the tune that plays when photographs of fallen soldiers are shown on the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer? And William wants to know, is there a foundation in the DFW area that can help charitable organizations ship donations to Africa? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Up next is Mark in Wichita Falls. Hello, Mark.
Yeah.
Yes, go right ahead.
The question about I think it was a lady that had seen some birds that were flying and then apparently rolling down and dropping and then going back up into the sky.
Uh-huh.
Did I miss part of that?
No, I think that's the question. That's pretty essentially the question we had.
Yeah, well, essentially, that does not occur within nature. And what the lady has probably seen has been one of our over 400 domesticated breed of pigeon. And the particular pigeon probably is a Birmingham roller. And those birds have been bred over a couple hundred years to do exactly the things she sees in the air. And so she's not probably looking at a wild bird at all.
Okay.
Because it does not, that kind of behavior does not happen
okay.
in nature.
It's an escaped domestic.
Well, or they're just flying around somebody's house and she happens to have seen a group of those doing that, and those are kept birds. They're pets.
Okay.
And there's actually an international competition which is done now called the World Cup Fly, where people compete with their group of birds from other groups of people all over the world to see what kind of performance can be obtained out of selective breeding.
And, you know, I didn't realize until a couple of years ago we did this show on the history of the pigeon here on the station, and we got such an amazing response. I didn't realize that even in the North Texas area there are a lot of pigeon enthusiasts.
Yes, there are. Not a lot. You know, it's a kind of a demanding sort of a thing.
Sure.
It takes some time, and, you know, our society today is so rushed and busy and tired that with other distractions as well, that kind of discipline and approach and kind of a settled time that it takes to have somebody maintain a breed of any sort of animal. But those kinds of birds do take some work and some time and quite a bit of science, actually.
Well, Mark, thanks very much for your call.
You're welcome.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. And that's where we find Julie in Dallas. Hello, Julie.
Hi. I have an answer on your insurance question.
Okay.
The Medicaid that the other lady talked about, that has income restrictions. And if the gentleman has been out of his job for 90 days or less, and actually that's misspeaking right there, he has 90 days from the date that they send him his COBRA letter to pick up COBRA. And if he's already been receiving treatment for his medical problems, it would probably be best for him to go ahead and stay with COBRA, even though it's very expensive, because he's already met at least part of his deductible, and at least until the end of the year, he can stay with that and will probably be better off financially.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for calling.
Thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email address anything@kera.org. Let's see. Roger writes, the new digital converters should provide an analog feed for your VCR. He says, plug your rabbit ears into the converter and then plug the converter into the VCR. The converter will act as a middleman between the rabbit ears and the VCR. And let's see. Also, last week we had the question about where is Robert Hansen these days, the convicted spy. And Jim says, according to the trailer for the movie Breach, which is the story of Hansen, according to the trailer, Robert Hansen is now serving a life sentence in the Supermax Federal Penitentiary in Florence, Colorado, where he spends 23 hours per day in solitary confinement. Jim says, I can't verify if that's still true, but it was true at least as far as when that movie was put out. And let's see, Roberto writes, to the answer to the question, what does BBL stand for in regards to oil? He says, from Wikipedia, blue barrel, 42-gallon oil barrels. He says, the B may have been doubled originally to indicate the plural, 1BL, 2BBL, or possibly it was doubled to eliminate any confusion with BL as a symbol for the bale. Some sources claim that BBL originated as a symbol for blue barrels delivered by Standard Oil in its early days, but this is probably incorrect because there are citations for the symbol at least as early as the late 1700s, long before Standard Oil was founded. So thanks, Roberto, and thanks, Wikipedia, for that answer. 800-933-5372 is where we find Louise in Dallas. Hello, Louise.
I hope my radio isn't bothering you in the background.
Oh, no, you're fine. Go right ahead.
Well, first I'm going to ask you something. I didn't ever realize that there's a delay in the time of everything I'm hearing on the phone, the program. There's about a six-second delay from what's coming over the radio. But that's not why I called.
But we're doing that on purpose, Louise.
Oh, okay. I meant to call last weekend and the week before when the cinnamon question came up, and I found an article. I still had it in my drawer here at work. On cinnamon, and I take a pure cinnamon bark, which is from Ceylon, but it's used for controlling blood glucose for some diabetics.
Okay.
And Whole Foods sells, if they're looking for it for a dietary supplement or something like that, Whole Foods sells the capsules and the pure cinnamon bark, and also Herb Mart does. And the place I got this information, you do not want to take cinnamon off the spice rack, you know, for medicinal purposes, because it can have something in it called coumarin, spelled C-O-U-M-A-R-I-N, which can be toxic to the liver.
Very good.
So the people, I think these people have a program early in the morning on KERA. People's Pharmacy, Joe
and Teresa Graydon. It's on Saturday mornings.
Saturday mornings. Yeah. Okay, because they were on once when you were doing your fundraising.
Right.
But I read their column, and they do have a website. So
great.
They can call. But people should know about that toxicity, I mean, if they're eating a lot of cinnamon.
Very good. Well, Louise, thanks very much for calling.
Okay, you're welcome. Right. I love your program.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
800-933-5372 is the phone number, and that's where we find Richard in Dallas. Hello, Richard.
Hi. I notice at the Sam's Club parking lot in Plano on Coit Road, there are a lot of birds there that appear and sound to be seagulls. And I guess we need the guy from Wichita Falls back on the phone, but are there seagulls this far inland?
Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. 800-933-5372 is, of course, the phone number, the email address, anything@kera.org. And Ron says, one of your callers was incorrect. Lots of wild birds use this flying technique, and it's very common in sparrows and other small birds. It says it's used to conserve energy during flight. And let's see, John in Dallas says, in regarding the question about the DVD-VCR combos on the digital signal, as long as you have a digital converter installed before the line, in the line before your VCR, you'll be fine. Otherwise, you'll need a digital VCR. It says, on the question regarding where the names from interstates come from, they are named from west to east, south to north. So Interstate 5 is located in California, with numbers going all the way to Interstate 95 on the east coast, as well as Interstate 10 in the southern United States to higher numbers in the northern United States. 800-933-5372. Let's see if we can get in one more question before we go to our break, and that's Brent in Fort Worth. Hello, Brent.
Yes, sir. I was calling with a question. I was visiting with somebody yesterday about the visit of the space shuttle, and I was just curious why it takes off nose to the sky instead of it horizontally like a regular plane. I would imagine it'd be a thrust, you know, issue, but I guess more a better question would be, why don't they take off horizontally like a regular plane?
Well, because I think they're steering it. I don't think it's really steered the way a plane is steered on takeoff. It's it's blasting to get achieve escape velocity. It has to achieve a speed of thousands of miles per hour.
Right.
And when it's really just a glider when it comes back in. But someone will have a much more qualified answer than me, and we'll see if we can get that for you this hour.
Right. Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Brent.
Bye-bye.
It's anything you ever wanted to know. The phone number is 800-933-5372. The email address, anything@kera.org. We'll be right back. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA. And the phone numbers, 800-933-5372, the email address, anything@kera.org. Regarding the music during the news hour's Honor Roll of Fallen Soldiers, the show actually does, roll, apparently. Rose in Dallas writes, they always announce that the photographs are shown in silence, as there had been a debate among staff if they should have music. It was decided that silence was more respectful. However, that poses a problem for the radio rebroadcast of the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. And Joe Cazera, here in Radio Control Central, writes, during the NewsHour's Honor Roll of Fallen Soldiers, we air the music bed, The Planets, by Gustav Holst. The show we receive for air only has silence at this moment, and staff chose this bed to air during the silence. So when you hear it on 90.1, you're hearing The Planets by Gustav Holst. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Randy in Fort Worth. Hello, Randy.
Hi. I have another numbering question.
Okay.
Maybe anybody who's been in the military can answer this, but I've always wondered about the numbering of military units, like the, for example, the 82nd Airborne. Does that mean that there are one through, that there's an 81st and an 83rd? Or the 101st Airborne, you know, you hear that name a lot.
Right.
And I was just wondering, is there any system to the numbering of these military units? Or is it just random?
It's a great question. We'll see if we get an answer for you.
Thanks.
All right. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Richard in Mansfield. Hello, Richard.
Hi, great program.
Thank you very much.
I've got a question, not being a Native American, new to America. When I watch baseball here, do the players have to keep a baseball cap on while they're playing? Because when I watch cricket, it's optional.
I would imagine that because it's part of the uniform, they have to wear it. I'm guessing here, and someone will call with a definitive answer. But if you notice, some of them, you know, will wear a hat all season long, and it gets really nasty. Some of the guys have, you know, a fresh hat all the time. Some guys like their bill really straight flat across, and some guys like their bill curved. So I think there are some modifications they can make. I mean, some of the baseball players wear super baggy uniforms, I've even noticed in the last couple of years. But we'll ask and see if we get a definitive answer for you. If not today, then probably next week.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. A couple new questions have come in to anything at KERA.org. Dinesh in Irving is wondering, aren't Las Colinas and Valley Ranch in Irving? If so, why do they have separate city names? Do they have different mayors than Irving? Fred wants to know if anyone has any suggestions about insulating the inside of a garage door. Does anyone know of a kit or any light material that I can do this with, he asks. And he says, thanks so much. Thank you, Fred. Let's see. Michael, writing from somewhere, says, when I was a kid in the early 80s, a local Metroplex radio station would play a song about the Dallas Cowboys. He says, I remember parts of the song, quote, Danny White makes me feel all right and Raphael Siptien kicks me out of my chair. Another quote, but when the Dallas Cowboys play in heaven, you know I'm going to be there. He says, I would be really interested in finding the song because it was just a great song. Does anyone know if it's available anywhere? I'd look on YouTube. It might be on YouTube, but we'll see if someone has a suggestion. 800-933-5372. Anything at KERA.org. Sarah in Arlington. Hey, Sarah. Writes and says, I'm looking for unique vintage thrift stores in or near Fort Worth. I've been to a couple, but so far none have really stood out. Well, from the control room, a couple of suggestions. Let's see. Jeannie suggests Thrift Town on Jacksboro Highway. And Emily, remember her, Emily? She suggests Berry Goodbyes in Fort Worth, which is on Berry Street, B-E-R-R-Y. But we'll take your suggestions too, 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Up next is Robert in Fort Worth. Hello, Robert.
Yes, hi. This question goes back to the traffic signals.
Okay.
And I was wondering, I ride a motorcycle, and sometimes the motorcycle doesn't trip whatever mechanism it is that changes the light. And it'll sit there and sit there. And I was wondering if there's what my legal option is. If I'm allowed to turn or go straight when the traffic clears, or if I just have to sit there until a car comes up and trips the mechanism.
Yeah, and I've heard, or we've been told at least on this show in the past, that the old, you know, weight sensors that the motorcycle wouldn't trip are really a thing of the past, and the new ones are magnetic. But I take it that sometimes there's not enough metal in the bike to set off the magnetic sensor.
That's true.
Well, it sounds like you've experienced this on a number of occasions.
Yes.
Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you. If not today, then maybe someone will call or write us for next week.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. 800-933-5372. Up next is Keith in Fort Worth. Hello, Keith.
Oh, hi.
Yes, go right ahead.
I'm just going to take you off speaker real quick. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever got an answer for the percentage grade of a hill. And if not, then I thought I could provide that.
Well, why don't you go ahead and just make it definitive with your I'll tell you if it's the same one we got last week.
Okay. So I believe the percentage, it'll say, you know, you're going downhill, it's a 6% grade. I believe it's for every 100 feet you go forward, you drop 6 feet.
That is what we were told last week.
All right. And then the other thing about the 82nd Airborne and that kind of thing, I don't know for sure where they originally came from, but I think it's like a fraternity, meaning once they've been named, they stay that, even though generations go on and on. So they're proud of that unit, and then you might be in that unit, or you might be in the 3rd Battalion, and they have names for them.
Right.
And so then, you know, you just sort of... It's just like a fraternity, you know, like the Delta Gamma or something like that.
Very good. Well, Keith, thanks for calling.
All right, no problem.
800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Brian in Dallas writes, I have a Mexican bird of paradise, a small tree that has dropped all of its leaves for the winter. He says, I have to keep this in my garage during cold snaps because it won't tolerate freezing. It's rather heavy and difficult to move. So my question is, can I leave it in the garage all winter? Or should I still bring it out on warm, sunny days? And the question, I guess, the overall question is, does a plant with no leaves still need sunlight? That's a great question. Call us, 800-933-5372. Here's another great question. This is from Robert in Dallas, who writes, we were wondering if it is customary for even-numbered houses to be on the south side of the street and odd-numbered houses to be on the north side of the street. How does it work, he asks, when a street runs north to south and there are only houses on the west side of the street? Call us, 800-933-5372. If you can't get through, you can email us at anything at kera.org. And let's talk next to another Richard in Dallas. Hello, Richard.
Good afternoon.
Yes, go right ahead.
I was wondering, I have a plasma screen TV mounted outside and with very little protection. And I was wondering what needs to be done in a situation where you have freezing weather and an outside plasma TV.
Okay, so you want to know, should you move it in or should you insulate it somehow? Or
well, it's a large plasma, so it'd be difficult to move. I mean, if I had to, I do. In the past, what I've done is wrapped it in a, I mean, I've protected it with an electric blanket and then tarped it and left it on a medium level and checked the temperature. But I just wondered if, you know, what precautions in freezing weather you need to take with a plasma TV.
Now did you just did that just because you were worried that it would freeze?
Well,
did it say to do that in the instructions or
no,
okay?
Didn't say.
Okay.
No, that was just my rigging.
All right, that's fine. Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you. And again, it'd probably be next week, but we'll try today.
Thank you
Thanks for calling. 800-933-5372. Up next is Dale in Wichita Falls. Hello, Dale.
Hi. On the seagulls?
Yes.
Those are actual seagulls. And actually, even up here, we have a pretty large lake, and we get pelicans on it, too, and cormorants. And they like brackish water. And, of course, in our area, the water is fairly brackish up here, lots of mineral salts in the water and such. And so they're pretty opportunistic birds. They'll move wherever they can find a food supply and a climate they can tolerate.
Very good.
And I had a comment. I didn't think I'd ever find anybody that I could enjoy to listen to after Glenn passed, but you've done a real good job of taking the reins, and I think you're doing a heck of a job. And
well,
it's a big pair of shoes to fill.
Well, thanks very much, Dale. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I miss the heck out of him, but I'm sure y'all do more than me.
Yeah,
even
you're not alone. You're not alone.
Yeah, but anyway, doing a good job. Keep it up.
Thanks very much, Dale. I appreciate your call.
Yes, sir.
800-933-5372. And up next is Chris in College Station. Hello, Chris.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well.
I have an answer to the question why the space shuttle doesn't take off horizontally. It's because the Earth's gravitational pull pulls directly to the center of the Earth. And so to get the most out of your fuel, you want to take your force in the direct opposite of that. And so if you're taking off horizontally, you're wasting a lot of fuel to escape the Earth's atmosphere. So you want to just take off directly from the opposite direction of the center of the Earth, and that's why they take off vertically.
Makes sense to me. Thanks very much, Chris.
Yep, no problem.
Let's see. From the email inbox, Elaine writes, regarding Las Colinas and Valley Ranch, they're part of Irving and have Irving elected officials as their elected officials. She says they are neighborhood names, not city names, but some people prefer to use them for mailing addresses, but they're not actually correct. They are part of Irving. And let's see. Catherine says, the Dallas Cowboys song, it sounds like that Super Bowl shuffle song. And Catherine says there's a version on YouTube. As far as the digital television, VCR, conversion, etc., Phil in Fort Worth says, it might be worth noting that even if you have a digital television, you may still need a converter box if you want to record television shows to your VCR, DVD recorder, or to many DVRs if you get your signal from an antenna. The tuners in these devices are still analog, even if your TV is digital. And Phil also suggests Pendry's Spices in Fort Worth and Dallas, or online at Pendry's, PENDRYS.com. Rick says seagulls are not truly pelagic or purely seabirds. They are shorebirds and inland birds near bodies of water. And Chris also confirms, yes, seagulls do live this far inland, and apparently they are migratory. Chris says, I've worked at the Webb Chapel Forest Lane area for several years, and every mid-November a small flock appears in our parking lot and stays until late February. And let's see, we get one more answer on seagulls from Michael in Dallas. Hello, Michael.
Yes, I guess I can confirm that. I've seen flocks
pretty large ones at White Rock Lake, as well as brown pelicans, and they kind of tend to stay together. And this time of year, I haven't looked this time, but they're sort of pretty if you can get out there, and they fly around, but they're definitely here.
Great.
I guess really for a shore bird or sea bird, 200 miles isn't much of anything.
Right. All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
All right. And one more answer from last week. Russell wrote us and said on last week's broadcast, there was a question as to whether or not President-elect Obama's campaign could pay off Hillary Clinton's campaign debt. Russell said that according to last Friday's Diane Rehm show, there was a guest that said no. Obama can give up to campaign finance limits, something like $2,000. And as I mentioned on the air, they can also donate money to other campaigns besides Hillary's, but will be similarly limited. The speaker on the show guessed that Obama would hold on to the remaining $30 million to use in 2012. And let's get a couple more calls before we run out of time. Let's talk to Jacob in Hearst. Hello, Jacob.
Hi.
Yes, go right ahead.
Well, I have an answer for the traffic lights and the motorcycles.
Okay.
Well, there's a small magnet they sell on eBay that they claim and I've heard works great, that you just put on the bottom of your motorcycle, and when you pull up, it just changes the light. But I have some other information about whether or not it's legal or not to go if you can't, if the light doesn't change.
Right.
And according to the judges in Hearst, in a personal experience.
Probably not, right?
No. Yeah,
okay.
No excuse.
Very good. Well, thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you.
All right. And we also got from Roger an email to anything@katyari.org. Roger says, some places online will sell heavy-duty magnets that can be attached to the bottom of the motorcycle frame. These magnets help disrupt the magnetic field of the light sensors, which makes the system notice the motorcycle. These are legal, Roger says, in Texas and most other states. And Steve emailed us and says, yes, Major League Baseball players do have to wear a cap. He says, notice, it's a cap. He says, there's no such thing as a baseball hat. Steve says that a hat has a brim all the way around, and a cap only has a bill. It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. It's produced by yours truly. Jeannie Mascoro runs the board. Thank you very much, Jeannie. Fiona Norton here answering phones today. Thank you so much, Fiona. It's great to see you as well. Brandilyn Barnett, whose T-shirt apparently says, I want to be a ninja in Japanese, is our assistant producer. Thank you very much, Brandilyn. And our intern, Emily Cox, we get her for one more week. Thank you very much for your help as well, Emily. You can download episodes of the show absolutely free at katyari.org and sign up for the free weekly podcast if you'd like while you're there, and it'll just appear on your podcast player. And of course, you can send your questions and answers, comments and suggestions to us at anything@katyari.org. Once again, I'm Jeff Whittington. Thanks so much for listening, and have a fantastic weekend.